If you have your Bibles there, just if you would turn to Genesis 27, and I want to read to you a familiar story, and I want to speak to you this morning about the blessing, the power of the blessing, and in particular, the power that a father has to bless his children. Do you realize, dads, how much power you have to bless your children? And so that brings to mind, what is the blessing? You know, it's a word that we use a lot in our language. Someone sneezes and we say, bless you. And that actually dates all the way back to the 6th century and the bubonic plague, where nearly half of the population of Europe was wiped out. And so if you heard somebody sneezing, that was a symptom of their impending death, apparently. And so you said, bless you. You invoked on them the blessing of God. Another way that we use the word blessing, or the word blessing, is to bless our food. Ask God to bless our food before we eat it, which is a good thing to do. And depending on your confidence or otherwise in the cook will depend on the depth and the passion of your blessing. Now, I make no reference at all to my wife or to my mother, because both of them were great cooks. But somehow, disproportionate to my mother's cooking, my father's blessings were very long. And he took it upon himself every night to pray for nearly every country in the world. And you knew that he was halfway through when he got to India. And by then the food was cold. What does it mean to bless someone? Well, what it means is this, that you actually articulate to that person the favor of God. That's powerful. And then somehow mysteriously, and this is true of the blessing in the scripture, you actually empower that person to walk within the parameters of the blessing that you have just called down on their life. Now, I don't know how that works. To me, it's somewhat mysterious. But you speak a blessing, and then somehow the Holy Spirit grabs those words of blessing, and there is a capacity for that person to walk within the parameters of that blessing. That's certainly true of the Old Testament. So we have this story, which is like a Shakespearean tragedy. And we're going to pick up the story from verse 27. And so he went to him, this is Jacob, one of the sons of Isaac. The other son was Esau. Jacob went to him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. What does your son smell like? Don't answer that. That the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches and abundance of grain and new wine. And many nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who you curse be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. And after Isaac finished blessing him, this is Jacob, who dressed up as Esau, and Esau was the firstborn and the one who was supposed to receive this blessing. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. And he too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And then he said to him, my father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And his father Isaac asked him, who are you? I'm your son. He answered, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. And when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." There's two things, just two things I want to highlight from this. And one is this, that a father has capacity, you fathers have capacity and power to bless your children. Because Isaac said to Esau, "I blessed him and he will be blessed." And even though Jacob did the switcheroo and shouldn't have been there, Jacob was still blessed because of the power of his father to bless. Do you know that? Do you know that you can speak into the lives of your children words of encouragement, words of life, words of hope and destiny, words of blessing? And do you know that you also have the capacity to do the opposite? That your words have power. Years ago, when my kids were younger, the two younger ones, Reuben and Sharia, were out playing totem tennis. And I was sitting at the dining room table, hoping for a little bit of peace and quiet, because I think it was a Saturday and I was doing some sermon preparation. So they were out there playing totem tennis. And all I could hear was a, you know, the whack, 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 whack of the ball against the racket. Next thing, I heard this ruckus, this crying and wailing and tears, and the kids were crying too. And what had happened was this, that Reuben, playing totem tennis with Sharia, let go of the bat and hit Sharia right in the face. And all I heard, and she started crying, and then Reuben started crying. And without doing any investigation into the matter at all, I immediately blamed Sharia. Big one, little one, must be the big one's fault. So I went out there and I gave Sharia a bawling. And she was stunned. And to this day, and she was here just before, and if you ask her about this, she'll remember the time that Dad came out and ripped shreds off her for doing something that wasn't her fault. Now, she knows that that's not my normal MO. It wasn't back then and it's not now, but she will remember this day, that incident, where I just yelled at her. And I can't remember what I said, but it was the tone of the voice. And to this day, we don't know whether Reuben did it on purpose or not, to finish the story. But I want to say to you, fathers, that you have this tremendous power with your fragile children, and you don't need to be young to be fragile. You can be 40 or 50 and still be fragile as a son or a daughter. And you have this capacity to speak into their lives. And they will be blessed. And they will be encouraged. And they will think about the purpose and destiny for which God has called them to. There is power in a father's blessing. And if you hear nothing else, I want you to hear this morning, that you can never, ever speak enough into the lives of your children. But the second thing I want you to hear is this, that our children are crying out for a blessing. They're crying out for favor and grace. They're crying out for words of encouragement from their father. "Bless me too," says Esau. Our children are crying out for blessing. Someone has done a profile into, or a study into the profile of young men and women, mostly young men, who are responsible for mass shooting. And most of this happens in the States, but some of it happens in other parts of the world. And they've determined many factors, but one of the factors is this, that in the lives of these boys, and sometimes young men, sometimes older men, there is an absence of a father, or there's a presence of a father, but he's not a good father, he's an abusive father. But in many cases, there's an absence of a father. So these boys have lost a father figure in their life, and one of the reasons that they do what they do is for that. Our kids are crying out for a blessing in all of the seasons of their life. Now, what I'm going to tell you is fairly personal, so you need to be really careful what you do with this. And you'll understand why when I share it with you. About 6 years ago, it was this time of the year, and I know it was this time because I was on Fraser Island for my annual retreat, and as typically happens, I check in with Karen every day or every second day. Well, about halfway through the retreat, I checked in with Karen and I said, oh, how's it going? She said, it's terrible here. I said, why is it terrible? She said, well, Reuben's friend, and Reuben had just started at Victory College, had been there a year or two, and he had a really good friend called Joe. Some of you will remember this story. Joe was killed tragically in a motorbike accident on their property, and we didn't know the depth of the friendship between Reuben and Joe, but it became apparent because when Joe was killed, Reuben just something broke in him. I said, well, what's happening? She said, well, Joe's died and Reuben has spent the last 2 days in his room, hasn't come out. It's 2 days in his room, hadn't come out. Oh, okay. I said, well, do you want me to come home? She said, no, I think it'll be okay. Well, he spent another full day in his room. He spent 3 days in his room, didn't come out. And that incident in his life was the catalyst for him sinking into really, really deep depression. Now, part of that journey for him was that he started to self-harm. And the method of self-harm that he chose, and we don't understand how this works, but he chose to start cutting himself. So, as a parent, you never know what's going to happen. They say the reason that kids cut themselves is that it somehow releases emotional pain. The physical pain does something to release emotional pain. But you never know how far it's going to go. And so, as you can imagine, we were terrified. We were terrified. And there were nights when I would just lie in his room beside him so that if he decided to do anything, we could take some sort of action straight away. There were nights when he would text us or from the other room, and he would text Mum and he would say, it's burning. What's burning, Reuben? The cuts are burning. And you'd go in there and there's blood all over the sheets. And you just did not know what was going to happen. And so I would lie with him, which reminded me of when he was a kid, because I used to lie with him in his bed when he was a young fella, because he couldn't get to sleep. Which, as you know, when you lie beside a little child, it's like lying next to an octopus that's looking for its car keys. And sort of, you'd end up on the edge of the bed. And so for nights and nights, I'd lie on a mattress next to Reuben. Now, there's lots of things that happened in that time to help him through. There were supportive people and understanding friends. But one of the things that happened was this, that my father would come up and visit us. And I don't know whether... We never told Dad what was happening because Dad had his own stuff to deal with, because Mum had just passed away. But Dad had this connection with Reuben, and you want to stand up for a minute, Troy? Would you mind standing up? So my father would come, just you can come closer, mate, I've had a shower recently, and my father with his big hands, you remember my dad, you see my hands? Know where I get my hands from. My father would come, and he would stand like this, and he'd put his hands on Reuben, and he would look him in the eye, those deep, piercing blue eyes, and he would say, how are you, my friend? And somehow in that moment, thanks, Mum. Somehow in that moment, Dad would convey something of the blessing of a grandfather to a grandson. And it wasn't in what he said, it's in what he didn't say. I think he knew, because my dad was no fool. So whatever he said, there was no judgment. There was no expectation of what Reuben would be or would become. There was just unconditional love as he laid those big paws on his shoulder and said, "How are you, my friend?" And then when he left, he gave him a big bear hug. And there was something powerfully imparted to the mind and the spirit of that kid who's now on fairly level ground, praise God. You know, we have this ability to speak life into the hearts of our children and grandchildren in a way that we may never know. In a mysterious way, we have this capacity to bring purpose and destiny as fathers and mothers, but I'm speaking about fathers today. It's powerful. It's powerful. Well, Reuben doesn't do that anymore, but you can still see the scars. It's a strange thing. Those scars don't go away. Those cutting scars, they're on his stomach and they're on his legs and they don't go away. They're a reminder of something that happened in the past, and he doesn't do that. He's beyond that, and he's pretty well grounded. Thanks be to God. But part of that journey was my father and those deep blue eyes and a man who had been around a lot of corners and had figured life out, placing his big hands on him and saying, "How are you, my friend?" We're going to have communion. We're going to share communion. And before we take communion, I just want to share the story of another man, and his name is David Meese. David Meese is a fairly well-known Christian artist in the United States, and he was better known perhaps in the 80s and the 90s. And he is a wonderful musician and singer. He's so talented. But his journey is this, that he had a father who was an alcoholic and who was terribly abusive. And his father would come home drunk nearly all the time. And one night his father came home drunk and smashed the car into the bedroom, the wall of the bedroom, just knocked the wall out. And in this drunken stupor, went to get a handgun, got a handgun, and he went to his son, who was cowering in bed in fear, and he stuck his gun against the head of his son. He never intended to kill him, but what he intended to do was to destroy his spirit. And he said to him, "You're nothing at all. You're nothing at all." Imagine hearing that from a father. And so his journey as a son is a journey of forgiveness of the father who was there but was unbelievably abusive. I'm really aware that today's a difficult day for some of you in respect to your fathers who were there but may not have been there, who may not have been there at all, and who may have been there but were abusive. Not everyone has got a good Father's Day story to tell. So we're going to take communion. And as we take communion this morning, I want you to know that if you're a child and a daughter of God, you have received the greatest blessing ever. It's the blessing that was pronounced to Abraham when God said, "I will make you a great nation. I will make you great and you will be a blessing. And through you, all nations on earth will be blessed." And it was out of the line of Abraham that Jesus came. And the Jewish people are not just an example of God's blessing, they are actually the branch of God's blessing. And from Abraham came Jesus. And in Christ we've received the greatest blessing that we could ever receive. And for many of us, the journey is a journey of forgiving our dads of wanting to be better fathers and grandfathers. And the truth is this, we cannot change the past, but we can shape the future. And so as you take communion this morning, just remember that you have received the greatest blessing ever given. The greatest blessing ever given. And I'm going to ask the deacons if they would come now and distribute the elements. And as they're doing that, we're actually going to play this song by David Meese, which is called My Father's Chair. And it's a powerful song. And so as you take communion this morning, take the bread and eat it. And remember, the bread reminds us of the broken body of Christ, broken for you and me, so that we might know wholeness. And in knowing wholeness, that we might begin to forgive, that we might make the journey towards restoration. And as you take the cup reminds us of the shed blood of Christ, which is shed for the complete forgiveness of our sin and our father's sins and our grandfather's sins. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, in you that we have a Saviour who broke the curse of sin. And in doing so, has released the power to transform all things, even broken relationships. We thank you that we have a loving Father who is good and generous and who willingly gave a Son so that we might know wholeness and forgiveness. We pray that in this moment, as we take the bread and the cup, that we would know in some measure the fullness or the beginning towards fullness of restoration, the forgiveness of our sin, the hope of eternity with you, and the restoration of purpose and the restoration of relationships. Thank you for all that you've done and continue to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.